Are we going to do a show today?
Yeah, I think so. Let's do it.
I don't want to do it. Brian, you do it.
You know what, Greg? You really hurt my feelings at the beginning of this year when you told me how bad the show was that you were
bringing that up now?
I'm bringing it up now because
you've been sitting
it's
on
been
this?
Taking a while for me to really express myself.
To process it?
So
I
what
said
I'm,
it a month and a half ago, probably.
Don't put a timestamp on something that you have no idea
why are you
about.
Always against me timestamping everything?
Because you timestamp shit and you don't even know what you're saying or what time means to you.
That's kind of true.
Well, that's true. Who knows what time means to them, Brian?
People who look at a calendar.
So, no.
People
I'm
who
talking
watch
at a
news.
More esoteric level. Who knows what time is, for Christ's sake? It's an arbitrary system.
That's relative.
That we made up.
It's relative.
It's a relative arbitration
that
of
is
a system that we made up so that we can make sense of our pointless lives.
Calm down.
2012 is about being more positive.
Why are you timestamping this, Brian? What if we don't use the show until 2015?
Good point.
3 years from hence. I read Shakespeare.
Yes, you do.
Thanks.
You know that's from a different time.
Hence.
Why are you timestamping shit, Robert?
Sorry.
Thus.
I just saying that it's not accurate the way he's speaking.
All right, fine.
Sorry, I didn't mean
retract.
To hurt your feelings.
I retract.
It was a terrible show.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
It was terrible.
Can somebody
have you listened to
intro
it?
This show, please?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead there, Captain. It's I'm going to drive this show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Scheid Show. My name is Robert Scheid. Sitting across from me is Brian Gerard, and next to him is the inflappable Gregory Hoyt.
Good evening, ladies.
Good. Joining us this week, we have once again...
Yet again.
Lee Granite.
Oh! Lee Granite!
Hello, Lee.
Hello.
Welcome back, Lee.
Welcome back, Lee. Last time we saw you, you were going to New Zealand.
Yep.
And that's that. Moving
yeah.
on.
It's a pleasure to be back.
Good.
Welcome
we're
back
glad
to
you
America,
made it.
Lee.
Glad you made it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was something that I always found fascinating about Lee, which I wanted to tell you guys about and the reason why
the
I asked
the fact that she
her.
Wears glasses but doesn't really need them in
no,
order to make people think she's smart.
That is not what I find
the
fascinating.
The fact that she has known you a very long time and still considers you one of the most enigmatic people she's ever met and she has no idea really what you're about or what you stand for.
The fact that she literally cannot remember the first time that she met you.
That's not memorable to me. No,
okay.
That's not.
Oh, okay.
That.
Then what is
what
it
is
that's
it?
So interesting?
What is it, Robert?
Really?
What's so interesting?
Well, she was part of this thing called the Visible Human Project. I probably could have pitched that a little better.
As opposed to the Invisible Human Project?
No,
Lee?
The Visible Human Project. So, last time you were here, Lee, you made a reference to a movie, Minority Report, correct?
Mm-hmm.
This is a fact.
The Visible Human Project.
Do you like that movie?
Of course.
Okay.
So, the Visible Human Project, elements from that were used in another movie, correct? Is that right?
Yes.
What movie was that? Do you remember? I was
it's
watching.
Been used in lots of movies, including X-Men 2 and
Iron Man.
So
no, not Iron Man.
No,
X-Men.
It's a good movie, though. Right?
So basically, what this is? Explain what the Visible Human Project is, because when I first heard about this, I was like, "Holy crap! This is what science is doing."
Are you going to end the world on accident someday?
Stop time stamping things, Greg.
Oh, my God.
Welcome aboard, Lee. Welcome aboard.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Visible Human Project, and this is a threat to you, Greg.
Okay, go ahead.
So the Visible Human Project is a cadaver that was cut in 1 millimeter slices all the way through, and every slice was photographed.
Oh, no.
To create a complete data set of cross-sectional human anatomy. And then once that came into existence, a lot of amazingly cool things could be done from that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, using computers to recreate a virtual human body, recreate, you know, all sorts of awesome virtual reality. We did a lot of simulated surgery applications where you could actually put on goggles, pick up a needle that's connected to a robotic haptic arm,
oh,
and
God.
You see in front of you a knee, and if you stick that needle into that knee, you feel the resistance. That's amazing. You hit muscle, feels like muscle. When you hit bone, you can't push any
further.
It's
impossible.
And it's all to train doctors and train surgeons without having to use real patients.
Pretty intense, huh?
I'm so upset right now.
I can't do this show.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard about this, the 1 millimeter, it was a prisoner, right? Wasn't
right.
It? It was a guy on death row.
A bunch of press on this
Poor
because
guy.
It was a guy on death row, so
he
the
was
entire
dead.
Issue
was
of
dead.
Death penalty was wrapped up in
he wasn't dead.
This project.
You did this when this
no,
guy
he,
was alive?
No, he committed to it. He said, I'm going to die. I deserve to die. I think this guy freely accepted his death penalty, but then was like, take my body and use it for this project.
Is that correct?
You can't dictate what your body's used for, right?
I'm afraid Gregory's right. He gave it to science.
Oh.
It was specifically for this
Look
project.
At that. He didn't know until after he died.
He died.
No, no.
That's when he knew.
He until they strapped
heaven.
Him.
Yeah.
No, no, wait. There's
yes.
no heaven.
There's no heaven.
He didn't know
right
until
before
he
the
was
execution,
strapped on the table
said,
and
oh, by the way.
Brought out this big slicer, like one of those vegetable slicers, and just brought it slowly
a
down.
A mandolin, you mean?
Him.
And they just ran him over it.
Yeah. He's going,
a mandolin? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Isn't that an instrument?
You know,
it is an instrument as well. Yeah.
When he was fading out there in the screams, that was when they started getting millimeters into his like real stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like the real stuff that runs the show.
So you took his body, you cryogenically froze him, or did
you why are you making things up?
No.
You froze him, but it wasn't cryogenic.
They put him
Lee,
in the fridge.
I'm so glad you're here to correct him.
Put him in
cryogenics.
No, they put it. He was in a giant block of like gelatin, right?
Yes.
It was this giant rectangle of gelatin.
But the jello pudding will wrap up the people and cut them into milliliters. And then we do some we'll do some virtual reality surgery on them. And then we eat the pudding pops.
So, okay. So, all right, sure. Why not, right? Why not? Give it to him. So this guy's hanging out.
This is the scariest story ever.
This guy hangs out in gelatin. He's frozen. We slice him up into 1 minute. He froze.
He's frozen. Wait, where did Tyrell go? Where did Tyrell go? They killed him?
Oh, he's frozen.
Okay, so this is the other thing that's intense is that you had to then go through and for every single photo. You had to go in and map what each thing was in the picture. Is that right? Like identify, this is that.
Exactly. So you have to use a computer and go through and say, this is the kidney.
Right.
Next slice.
This is still the kidney.
Next slice. This is still the kidney. And just for the record, so you know how cool of a guest you have on the Shide Show today.
Yeah.
I personally categorize the bottom third of the small intestines.
Nice.
The bottom fourth of the heart.
Wow.
Well, how many people are part of this project?
Tons of people. It became a public data set, so people around the world use this data for all sorts of projects. This was all funded by the U.S. government to make a regular, free set. Because what was happening was a lot of scientists were doing this for like a shoulder or a knee or a foot, but we needed it for the entire body. So done male, they've done female, they've done higher resolution, so down to 1/10 of a millimeter slices.
Oh my god!
And these aren't just like large organs that they had to categorize. They had to go in and do veins and arteries and capillaries. I don't know how
everything?
Far they went.
Well, and it's amazing because you can say this is the heart, but then you might want to say, well, this is the right ventricle, and then you might want to say, oh, this is the muscle on the wall of the
my
right
God.
Ventricle, and then you might want to say, oh, this is the tendon that connects the muscle to the wall of the right ventricle. So
my
really
brain
is
hurts right now.
So what is ultimately? I mean, there's so many, millions of possibilities for the purpose of such a project. Why? What do you see as the most important impact that this project has had?
Mostly education. This just provides a huge way to get medical knowledge to people who, cadavers are expensive and becoming more and more rare.
Why?
Very few people die from natural causes anymore, things that don't
scary.
Keep your anatomy intact.
I have to ask you a question.
That's interesting. I didn't
Can
know
ask you a question.
Oh.
Are we going to live forever? I'm asking you seriously. Do you think I will end up living
Don't timestamp this.
I'm just asking. No, it's an open-ended question. Do you think by the time that I'm 80 years old, I will be rich enough and powerful enough to buy all of the technology that I need to keep myself alive forever. It's a real question. Think about it. How fucking fast things are happening in the last 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Lee's talking about virtual fantasy surgery. Right. And fantasy people who don't
and by
really
the way,
exist
how many years
anymore.
Ago was that happening?
Yeah, this was 10 years ago.
That's See? 10 years ago that was happening.
What do you think I'm saying?
I know.
That's
Continue.
What I just said!
Continue. 80 years old. Go for it.
So 10 years ago, that wasn't even on the table. You would have been shot by someone if you had even said that this is possible.
That's right.
But
I don't
now
know
it's
who
possible.
Your friends are. They're very aggressive.
Well, yeah.
Greg, don't you want to live forever?
But this is why I'm asking.
I have a question for Gregory Hoyt that has been a big concern of mine, and this is a good point to bring
yes.
it up.
Yes, Lee.
So as an avid fan of The Shide Show, mm-hmm. I was very excited about the episode in which you completely derided Robert for his motorcycle. And now I hear that you are taking motorcycle lessons.
What? Live forever, Hoyt?
So you are not going to live forever if you
if
get
I
on
take
that
a motorcycle.
Bike, Gregory Hoyt.
Okay, now let me tell you something, Lee. I am a movie star.
Okay.
So
I just checked out.
So I've embarked on a project
to kill yourself
called How to Kill Yourself in less than a year. No, I've embarked on a project called Movie Star Skills for 2012. I'm naming it right now. I'm making it up as I speak.
That's good.
But genuinely,
step one
is to learn how to take a fall on a motorcycle.
All right.
No, one step that I wanted to do was to learn how to ride a motorcycle so that in a film, I would be able to ride a motorcycle or on a television show. Mm-hmm. That being said, Lee, from my heart to your heart, I have no intention of ever riding a motorcycle on the streets of Los Angeles.
Interesting.
You're
clapping for yourself.
Feel better.
Do you? Okay.
But no point in the episode where Robert was thoroughly lambasted for his motorcycle riding mm-hmm. did you say it's valuable to have these skills as
it's
an
true.
Actor.
Yeah, you
true.
Didn't. You
I didn't.
Didn't
no, I didn't.
That's because
point.
Gregory really doesn't think of Robert as an actor.
Oh.
That's probably
not true. Not necessarily true.
Thanks.
I think you're an actor.
Thank you.
But I don't think that you got your motorcycle license because that of your acting career.
Yeah, that's true.
Robert rides a motorcycle all the time in Los Angeles.
You didn't make a list of movie star skills.
That's
you
right.
No.
See, I'm also going to get trained in guns
I'm
this year.
I'm going to tell you, I updated
like
my profile.
And all sorts of stuff.
I updated my acting profile as soon as I got my motorcycle license. And
that's
felt comfortable enough
about.
To say that I could ride it.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, yeah.
On my acting resume for special skills, I have... driver.
Nothing. What?
I have a license. I run.
Everybody
Sometimes
has
I play volleyball.
Everybody has.
You play volleyball. What position
fishing.
Do you play?
Yeah, what position do you play in volleyball, Brian?
Left,
how often?
Left striker.
How tall are you?
Not a position. Lee, were you worried for me or were you just angry at me?
Both.
Sometimes
both.
Anger is a mask for your deeper feelings of love.
Oh.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having just met you, mm-hmm. I am already, mm-hmm. or met you previous
yeah.
to my trip.
Yeah.
The, I'm concerned. I don't like that Robert rides motorcycle.
Right.
It causes me great distress.
On
I was
how
very
regular.
Happy to hear you,
you
explain to him why this was a bad thing.
Thank you.
I was, you did it so eloquently and so perfectly.
See that,
and
Brian?
Then to turn around and ride one of your own.
And just to just be such a hypocrite.
Lee, it's called hypocrisy. Reality. Hypocrisy. Now, I'm thinking about getting a Vespa myself, which is not anything like either of what these guys
it's have. It's 10 times more dangerous
it is
than
worse,
anything.
Because you can't get
you
out of the situation yeah. that you're getting into.
I don't think that will help your resume.
A Vespa? Vespa's like riding a rocket chair down the fucking street. Like, let me just sit on this rickety bench and accelerate. I mean, seriously, like... You might as well sit in a kitchen chair
yeah.
and attach wheels to it in a lawnmower engine and hope for the best.
With a silencer, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get gun licensed. Are you going to try to combine these skills?
Yeah, so I'll be riding down the street on a motorbike shooting.
Yes.
shooting everywhere
this
and
is
reloading.
Greg, this isn't just Greg's resume update plan. Mm-hmm. This is also Greg's 2012 preparation plan.
Escape plan.
Mm-hmm. For the end.
For
the
end.
Truth. It's the truth. Like,
right.
I'm going to hide. When it all goes down, I want to have a gun that I know how to use, and I will. If I don't own a motorcycle, I want to know how to drive the person's motorcycle who I steal
wow.
when it goes down.
That's awesome. Because
that'll be the first
steal.
Thing that I do. when I see the mushroom clouds or whatever is happening, I'm going to run down the street, put my gun in the back of my pants, find a motorcycle.
Your pants are going to be on,
but oh yeah, my pants are always on. Always. Literally every moment. Even in the shower and during lovemaking, they're definitely on.
Okay. Good.
Wait a minute. How do you
No.
So, I can tell you.
No. I don't want to know. So you are you're going to be shooting your way out of the city on the back of a motorcycle.
That's right. No, I'll be on the front of it.
Oh, okay.
I'll be driving and shooting at the same time.
All right.
Yeah.
A stolen motorcycle.
But I'm not going to ride.
There's a third skill you're going to need.
What's that?
How to hotwire.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
Who's going to teach you that?
You should
Brian.
Practice on Robert's motorcycle.
Yeah, hot wiring and stealing. I'll just find out where he parks it and just keep stealing it over and over again.
That's all right.
And he'll just have to call me and be like, did you steal my motorcycle again? And he'll just hear me laughing and riding.
And shooting off a gun.
But I'll never ride. I'm never going to buy a motorcycle. I'm not going to ride in the city. I had an agreement. Like I told my mom while I was home for the holidays that I was doing it. And she's like, you can't ride in that city. And I was like, I know. She's like, promise you won't ride in the city. So I promise.
Right. I want in on that promise.
All right, handshake all right. Happening right now.
I promise.
Excellent.
Wow.
That's a real handshake.
That is.
Cut to Greg renting a Harley in Santa Monica and going up the Pacific Coast Highway.
I'm not in the city!
Lee! I'm not in the city! Mom! As I fly off the Big Sur Highway on a really sharp turn.
You know, because I honestly think that in stop and go light based traffic, you know, that where you have lights that you're approaching, that's a good place to learn how to ride a motorcycle. If you're going out and you're like, I'm going out on the open highway where there are no problems, oftentimes what happens is you end up going too fast because you're not aware of your speed. You end up approaching a turn at that excessive speed or under speed, and you end up setting the bike down, as they call it, where you end up, you know,
dying.
Down.
Well, or just maybe rocketing not dying. Off the corner.
Well, so, and then also you're dealing with traffic that's out there, other cars that are also going too fast.
And wind.
Like, and, well, sure, all of that stuff. Yeah. And so I think the better training ground is a city where you have lights, stop signs, blocks that you can go through.
Billions of cars, people who are uninsured, unregistered.
You have to get used to
insurance. Has nothing to do with
drunk
experience.
Driving.
But, well, yeah. That's what the time of day that you do it and just being completely trying to be 100% aware of the other drivers that
do you
are
know,
out there.
Do you know this? Let me tell you something. You
tell me
know.
Something, please.
Once a month, if not once every few weeks, I hope Robert is alive.
Well, that's nice. It's a nice thing,
but it's because of your motorcycle riding.
Me too.
How often do you think it?
Yeah, once a month or at least once every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Brian, how often do you think it?
He doesn't think about me at all.
Very rarely, if ever. Yeah. Actually, never.
Yeah. Thanks,
but that's
guys.
Because Brian is so wrapped up in his own inner turmoil.
He is. Yeah. Mm.
His Vespa decisions.
Yeah, why would you ever buy it? If you came to my house in a Vespa, I would hand manufacture an axe out of homemade material, and I would chase you down and hack at you.
And the thing is, you being on the Vespa, he could catch you.
I could catch you.
Vespas go 80, maybe 90 miles an hour.
What did you just say? I'll tell you. There is a 350 Vespa. I was looking at Vespas. There's a 350 Vespa.
Are you going to buy one? What is
it? No. When I first started riding, I wanted something that would be fun to get around the city, and that's why I got my motorcycle license. Mm-hmm. But when I started riding the motorcycle, I was like, wow, this is actually fun to shift and have a little more control over it and have an engine that can get me out of a problem if I'm in one. And so
like
I
a gun battle.
Like a gun battle.
You're so not getting out of a gun battle on a Vespa.
No.
Sure you are.
In style.
And then I yell, I'm an Italian.
I'm an Italian.
I'm a Vespa.
Is that you going by over and over again?
Pepperoni. Pizza. Nobody's touching me there.
No, they're not.
It's like that scene in Gone with the Wolves.
What? I don't know that. Is that a mashup?
Sorry, I'm not familiar with that.
And it's
Dances with the Wind.
Yeah.
Dance with Wolves, where Costner decides, fuck it, the Civil War is too much for me.
Oh.
I'm going to jump on this horse and do the Christ arms.
Yeah.
And then he rides parallel to the line, and yep. they just keep missing him. That'll yeah. be like Brian on his Vespa.
Somehow I don't think that they'll keep missing him. Because he'll be going a lot slower. He got him.
Oh, my legs! Out of my... Out of my mouth! Out of my body!
I believe...
I'm out of the human! I need a tourniquet!
It's like a fucking rowboat with a 3-horsepower engine driving by on a lake.
Lee, being from San Francisco, you must see a lot of Vespas.
There are a lot of Vespas.
And how do they do getting up those hills, though?
I think they avoid the hills.
How do they do coming down them when they lose their brakes?
I feel like you need an equally wussy weapon when you're on the Vespa. Like maybe a paintball gun?
Bow and arrow?
Bow and arrow?
Slingshot.
Bow and arrow is pretty badass.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
True.
Like if you pulled a bow and an arrow from your backpack and started shooting off a Vespa, I'd be like, that's the coolest Vespa ride.
You need a taser.
Yeah, you can't even tase anybody. You're not even close to them. They're just walking away.
Whoa, Wait.
I want to tase you.
The clicking of a taser.
Now you can put that on your resume.
All right, there we go. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Lee, I love you.
I love you, Gregory.
Oh, look at that.
Thank you for sharing your work with us, Lee.
Yeah.
A pleasure.
It's really scary work.
Thanks for coming back.
You seemed frightened.
I did?
Yes.
I was trying to hide my fear.
No.
Didn't. It wasn't hidden.
She could smell it.
Hear more about the Human Visible Project.
The Visible Human Project. God, you made
go to www.theworldisgoingtoendtomorrow.com/GregoryHoyt is frightened.
You're
by
missing something in there.
There was no .com.
Hyphen. There was no .gov or
semicolon.
Org.
No, the real website is www.visiblehuman.net. com.
No.
I think your viewers should just go to the Shad Show.
Yeah. And you'll find. Thank you.
Hashtag WTF2012.
What?
Vespa.
Just end the show.
Lee.
Lee, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
Robert Scheid and Gregory Hoyt. I'm Brian Gerard. We're the Scheid Show.
Yay.
Me. Step on the I got one of
bye.
Bye.
Bo.
Bo.
Don, don.
I eat Aunt the pasta twice just because she is so nice. Angelina. Angelina, waitress at the pizzeria. I keep soup and minestrone just to be with her alone. Angelina, Angelina, waitress at the pizzeria.